Blog Talk Radio.
Pep in my step tonight. My voice is a little better, but it does fade, so if you hear me like drifting out and drifting back, you know, don't be surprised. And hey, Rex, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right. How about you?
Well, you know, I'm better than I have been, so I'm that makes me just fine. Just fine. Terrible. Like, man, I tell you, it's been rough. It has been a rough 3 weeks. But this too shall pass, right? That's what I say. And, yeah, so we have a nice board of poetry tonight. We have a wonderful board of audios that was sent in by everyone. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, my God. I like it. And we got Zach and Puddles on the board.
Yes, we do. Hello, Zach. Hello, Puddles. I think I have Zach on hold, but I'm not positive, so let me try it. Hello, 703. Is that you, Zach?
Hello.
Yes, it is. Hello.
Yay.
Nice to hear from you. Yes.
Likewise.
Yes, I know we have two numbers that are both 703, and the other one I believe is Miriam, but she said she needed a reader, so I kind of thought it was you. Oh, my God. So happy Friday, everybody. TGIF. That's what I'm going to say. Because, man, I tell you, these weeks have been rough. I'm hoping to be back on track myself personally next week and be able to attend all my charges and shows But I guess we're going to have to see how that works out.
Oh, we got another one. Christina's on the board, too.
Hello, Christina. How are you tonight? Nice. Yes, we have one of hers on the board as well. This is pretty cool. It's a good night for poetry. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to turn off the fan because it's a little chilly in my room, but if I turn it off, then it gets stuffy in my room. So I'm just doing this button-pushing thing all night long. But anyhow, let's see, what's new? Now, Zach, where are you at, 703? Where's that? What part of the world are you? East Coast, West Coast, Central?
East Coast, originally Woodbridge, but now Pennsylvania.
Okay, so 703 is Pennsylvania?
No, D.C.
Oh, okay. D.C.? Okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. That's not far. We're still neighbors, even though you moved out of state.
Yeah. Absolutely. Never left, you know.
And what's that crazy weather like in D.C.?
Oh, man. Gee whiz. It's like left and right, up and down with the temperatures and the precipitation.
Yeah, it was lousy here today. It was like misty and rainy all day long and like damp and chilly and cold, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're probably about the same. And then Rex is further down the East Coast, and sounds like he's got the best of all three of us sitting at 60 degrees, Brett. That's all right. Sorry, he had a cold spell. He had his cold spell, so we're all hanging in. Oh, my goodness. So,
hello, Robbie. How you doing? He's on the board
now.
Hey,
Robbie. Nice. I like it. Everybody should call in and we'll have a party on here. But that's okay. It's okay. We don't want anybody to get, like, you know, overwhelmed with my presence. I get it. You get on here and I start talking silly and then it's like, oh, my God, her again. Yes, sir, rebub. Yes, sir, rebub. Well, I guess I should start the party instead of yammering away. I don't quite know. I've been away so long, I don't even know what's new and exciting in this world. But, Rex, I'm going to get you to start us off like I always do and put up a poem by Jody Melton, and whenever you're ready.
All right.
Oh, that's definitely Rex.
Beneath the Surface by Jody Melton. In the vast expanse of open water, I find myself just a boy, unremarkable, swallowed by the sea as I tumbled from the deck. My vessel set sail for distant lands, yet my soul yearned for the embrace of the shore. Bereft of a life vest, ensnared once more in the grip of the waves, longing for a strength I lack to master the art of swimming across vast distances, a daunting 14 miles away. Adrift, I oscillate, a plaything for the currents, colliding with the whispers of the deep, where the giants of the sea glide in their silent ballet below. The abyss claims me, pulling me to its heart, where all that unsettles me finds its home. The guiding light of salvation flickers and fades to nothingness, leaving me embraced by the chill, the very essence of cold. Desperation sets in, allowing me to escape the clutches of this watery grave, yet knowledge eludes me. The ocean has a living entity that strikes my surrender, its waves cradle in its tumultuous embrace, setting forth the storm within. Mirroring the turmoil within my soul, brain and full echoes of my inner senses begin. Self, a scanner arising, seeking to be a hope, a sun, a hope. The absence of light, perhaps wreckage of the past might have a sanctuary, abandoned by fortune, left standing in the open sea, I fight for every breath, and struggle to maintain the risk of life, rose. Force unbidden, far off in chain, a voice in the whisper against the roar of the sea, as I begin to succumb. Winds weary, third faltering, envy for the earth that once bore my weight. In the depth, I reach inward, hidden the spark that defies the end. The vision of you, the wind becomes my anchor, allowing me to float, let go, and drift into the vastness of the cosmos. The desire to flee the embrace of the sea persists, yet the path remains obscured. The ocean beckons, I fall to surrender, to let its waves carry me, to let the storm within unleash its fury, to let the rain, a reflection of my inner form, flow freely. Awakened by the dawn, I contemplate my actions, the leap from the bow, a testament to my design. The night serves as a reminder of loss. The absence of the one who held my heart, driving me to the brink, where the allure of the ocean's depths promised oblivion. The call to end it all, the siren song, inviting me to plunge into the depths, to embrace the end in the ocean's cold embrace. Yes, as I teeter on the edge, your face becomes my beacon, guiding me back from the void into the light. And boom.
Excellent.
I'm going to hold up a minute. Jack, why don't you give us a short video?
Oh, man. Well, I loved, I didn't know how it was going to start off. It was childlike at first with the narrative sort of driving the flow from the shore outward and then gaining distance and then contrasting with the weight of the sea. But then it went to the whole, like, siren, which is someplace, like, completely different, like, further into the abyss and in the cosmos, as it were. And it reminded me of a certain scene in The Lighthouse, but way more substance and weight to the actual the whole scene and the narrative itself.
All right, so I like that.
Very cinematic.
Yes, it was. Jean, what about you?
You know, I thought this was a wonderful, wonderful story told. And it was a great pen piece for National Mental Awareness Month. Wellness Month. I'd see how I am. I'm like making up words. But I think that it was really a great piece. And you can kind of, anyone who's ever, you know, even dealt with just depression, and I don't want to say just depression like, oh, it's not a big deal. It can kill you. You know, but going from the sirens calling you under to that one face that brings you back, you know, that is teetering on the edge. And it's really a, it was just really well put, I thought, you know, because part of you just says, I can't take anymore. I can't do anymore. And then the next thing you know, someone, just that one voice, that one person in your life can be the one to draw you back out. And give you that strength to start again or to stay on top. So I think it was just an excellent piece. And Jody, I think this is the longest piece I ever saw you write. And an excellent job it was. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. It is the longest piece that Jody's written for us. So, yes. And between the title and what he offered up as the his note in the AM, the National Mental Wellness Month, it does give depth to the piece itself. But even without that note in the AN, it does walk that line, and it walks another one where you're out in the world, so to speak, and all of a sudden you find yourself adrift in treading water for one reason or another. So it not only works on that mental health angle, but it also points to actually being lost in a larger void. Because you're not really prepared for what's out there, and all of a sudden you found your life vests, your life preservers. They are not there to help, and in the moment you're kind of lost within the scenery itself, and you understand how easy it is to slip through the grates of life into nothingness and find yourself wanting something more than just that free form and understanding, but that you might actually hover over that angle of just all right, saying hell with everything. There are better things to be on the other side, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I do like the finish of this, because that one face becomes the beacon guiding you back from the void into the light. There's a duality into that, too. That one face could be the thought of a spirituality and walking into the light on the other side as well. So
absolutely.
A number of people on a number of different topics and feelings. So
absolutely.
Nicely done, Jody.
Great comments, guys. Absolutely. Okay, now the next piece I'm going to put up is a Ballad for Lucy Lilac, 12, by Jack Blue. Okay, I'm going to give this one a read. Ballad for Lucy Lilac, number 12. Blue as shadows of Noel haunted Lucy's icy mind, Like a silly cat, she sat at the table of memories. A candle flame ablaze, Allegro took her down to the hobbit hole. The greenery she found, good elves, old pasticcerie, strawberries, fantasy, or a hill of fruity snow, glittering majestically like pearly pixies, jamboree. Excuse me. The ethereal purity enchanted her uncannily and woke her up in idleness, where she found no fairyland, but a candle flickering like a spirit or a ghost. Suddenly, a purple hem covered all the bluish room. A strawberry castle cake loomed just out of the blue. The candle twinkled merrily as her beagle walked away. End poem.
Great read, June. Thank you very much. Well, as usual, Jack is rolling on that touch of magic and whimsy, this thought to not just winter, but the magic one can involve it, especially if you're alone in the moment. I like that note of bluish shadows of Noel, bluish shadows of Christmas, or at least the angle of Christmas time. Haunted Lucy's icy mind at the thought, she's a bit cold. And I like that note. Like a silly cat, she sat at the table of memories, a candle flame ablaze, Allegro took her down the hobbit hole. It's that kind of note to looking into the candle and being transposed into another realm, but not the rabbit hole, a hobbit hole. I like that.
That's right.
The elves roll in with this, and then she hits one. She's on a hill of fruity snow, glittering majestically like pearly pixie jamboree. It gets a little nice touch and even drops in the other pixies as well, and you get that little spirit or spirit of ghost, the candle flickering, and to wake up once more and feel a little bit more warm in the moment. And then he drops in that thought of the beagle walking away. So something disturbed you. It was the dog getting up. What about you, Zach?
Reminded me of a singular kind of person keeping to herself like a cat. The China scenery reminded me of a scene from Alice in Wonderland, and then ghostly, like the Japanese horror film Kwaidan, the woman of the winter, reminded me particularly of that short film from Kwaidan. Absolutely, well done.
Excellent, thank you, Jack. All right, Jim, you got to read it. What about you?
Let's see if I have any voice left. It was a great whimsical piece. And his use of colors throughout never disappoints, because he puts them in so subtly and in unique places. I kind of went with these two stanzas. The ethereal purity enchanted her uncannily and woke her up in idleness, where she found no fairyland, but a candle flickering like a spirit or a ghost. Suddenly a purple hem covered all the bluish room. A strawberry castle cake loomed just out of the blue. The candle twinkled merrily as her beagle walked away. Now, I always laugh because when I see Lucy, I always think of... When I see Lucy in Luke's rights, I always envision Lucy from Peanuts. So as her beagle walked away, I can see Snoopy wandering off. I don't know quite if that's anywhere near right, but I know that... He's made those references before. And I think it was just a really nicely done piece. And again, he took this, he read a piece by Garden Delights, which I believe, is what prompted him to write this one. So, someday we'll have to read Garden Delights piece to go along with this, just so we can see the cross-reference. But great job, Luke, and thanks for sharing with us, as always. Much enjoyed
nice.
Piece.
Thank you very much. And we're coming back to Eugene, and Erin is on the board as well.
There you go. Hello, Erin Panther. Welcome aboard. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up, actually I have three in a row that have audio, so I think I'm going to do them. Let me put this one up. This piece, Layers by S. Sharp. And I have an audio for this, so let me hit that button. Here we go.
Layers. Archaeologists excavate layers, soil upon soil upon soil, rocky planet layered in dirt hurdles through time. I look out the back window, the gazebo surrounded in stone walls we built. Elevated rises amongst the lilies and marigolds, climbing the steps in spring, dropping petals in fall. The brilliant white paint fades like memories of coming-of-age celebrations, dancing under colored lights, impromptu soccer games, roasting marshmallows over the fire pit. Kids now have kids, living beyond the back wall where the sun sets. The cord of wood cut and stacked stands where children rode in toy jeeps, photos layered in dust, brushed, artifacts preserved, pulled from the bookshelves and heartstrings, uncovering eras, time periods long forgotten. First fireworks, first snows, submerged under a great flood of time since. Old arthritic fingers click through a dust-covered screen wiped clean. My fingers needing nails clipped. I run a finger along Grandpa's old mahogany desk, fingers covered in dark dust with memory, realizing there comes a time in every life an asteroid hits and wipes out the dinosaurs, and when the chaos settles, you know it's time to dust.
Great read, Scott. Thank you for the soundtrack. Very much appreciated. That is, there's some kind of hum in that band.
I don't hear one. I believe you, though. Here, let me see if I can get rid of it.
Well, I'm gonna pass this to Zach, hang up and call back. Zach, why don't you give us a comment, please?
Okay. I love the deeper sort of imagery, starting like a jackhammer and kind of drilling straight into the earth. And I felt like a nostalgia for times long gone, with the kind of the yearning and the voice, very much so. And like, what a dark sort of turn to kind of just go for the chaos of an apocalyptic sort of destruction, like just like threads or like the day after sort of thing, just bleak and just not looking back after that. So, I mean, there's something to be said about that, but, like, can't go going for that all the time, but my goodness, of course, what a well-done piece.
Absolutely. Great comment.
Absolutely. Like that.
Hi, Rex. Welcome back. Well, Eugene said that
nice.
He really liked this piece. Just saying. I thought it was a wonderful imagery throughout. And how true are those layers in life? We all have them. You know, it's hard to wander through all the debris sometimes because, and debris is not really the right word. It's a little harsh, but there's always, and I don't want to use the word layers because that's what Scott said, but basically, you know, there's just things that pile on top of things. And it just builds up. And, you know, when it comes time to go through it and make changes or to sort things out, it's a job. It's a little bit of a job, but I did like this, this last stanza. I run a finger along Grandpa's old mahogany desk, finger covered in dark dust of memory, realizing there comes a time in every life an asteroid hits and wipes out the dinosaurs. And when the chaos settles, you know it's time to dust. I thought that was very clever the way he put that together there. And just a well-written piece and a great audio too. So thank you, Scott, as always, for sharing with us. I really liked it. Well done.
Nice. I like that end stanza to it. It finished out the beginning. Archaeologists excavate layers, soil upon soil upon soil, rocky planet laid in dirt, hurdles through time. So you open up with the thought that he finishes with. And everything else in between is that life lived, but it points at that note in metaphor, the fact that everybody's got to realize that their time is short and they should enjoy those moments while here and not worry about when the end comes, because you know it's going to come anyway. So the idea is to live that life as fully as he's expressed here, like from the first fireworks, the kids riding the electric vehicles out back, the s'mores parties in the fire pits, and every other little bit of treasured note. Then he finishes out with that thought of grandpa, his old mahogany desk. So it's gone from grandpa to now him. So hopefully that mahogany desk gets passed on to one of his sons as for the next generation. So it's nicely etched there, Scott. Thank you very much.
Great job, guys. Great job. Okay, well, the next piece I'm going to put up is called "The Nothing Changes," the interview, and this is by Diane D. And I have another audio for this, so that's a pretty good one. Oh, I almost put it in the wrong place. It would have been bad. You hear it again? I'm going to mute myself. Tell me if it goes away. So hang on 1 second.
No, okay. I'm not hearing it right now.
Okay, I'm going on mute. And we have another caller, so let's see. We have a 763 number. And hello, 763. Who might this be?
This is Dexter.
Oh, my God, your prodigal son. The prodigal son has returned. I have missed you, son.
I miss
Not
you
Jesus,
too, Phil.
The prodigal son.
Yes, I miss you so much. So, thank you for calling me last night.
I'm so glad you're here. It does my heart good to know you're hanging out with us tonight. So that's excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to put myself on mute and start this audio. If the sound goes away, just let me know.
Nothing Changes. The Interview by Diane D. A burnt-out light bulb pretending to be lit. She would draw fearless on her cigarette, like butter that spread too thinly on toast. She's quite a bit more scrawny than most. Exhaling her aches in a single gray puff, closing her eyes as if she'd had enough. 86 years, a thrall in the making, her grotty, nail-chipped fingers are shaking. Squatting random on open park benches, destiny hauled her through all of life's trenches. Her endless deep blue eyes blinked of old. Her bare arms reddened by cold. I held out a confident, well-ordered hand. I have but one question to ask of you, ma'am. Now this one may seem a little bit strange, but what does it mean that all things change? Unexpected, a tall voice insisted you quell. All heads were turning and under her spell. And what came next would make night salute day. She arose to a peak and followed to say, so why is the concept of change so complex? It simply means that something comes next. And does change imply the passage of time? Or can time pass with change of no kind? When enslaved by patterns that life arranges, you're led to believe that nothing changes. And for countless decades of repetitious mistakes, Those 24 hours are nothing but retakes. But live 86 years one day at a time. And all things do change inside of your mind. We are all timepieces running on wind chimes, where no seconds repeat and no minute rewinds. Change is inevitable every breath we take, and change is determined by the choices we make. My mouth opened wide, no sound to be heard. I had not expected such exposition of word. A burnt out light bulb pretending to be lit. She would draw fearless on her cigarette. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is awesome. This one reminded me of my grandma, you know, right when the smoking ban happened all across, right, it was like the waitress came over to my grandma and was like, Lorna, you can't smoke in here. You got to put it out. And she blew it right in her face and said, I intend to. And I'll never forget that. Like, in other words, I intend to when it's all done. But this is relying on grandma's wisdom throughout this piece. That's the driving theme. And also the idea of change, which is funny in our culture, because change is uncomfortable. There's an idea that the devil was derived from the word, the dynamic of life, which is that uncomfortable change. And so it's like almost like in our culture that change and the devil and all of these things have been connected in such an evil thing, but there are a necessary thing in life that is going to drive us in an uncomfortable way, right? And so I think that this piece is incredible. Because I always like to hear things about grandma's wisdom. And so I think that this was a very good SoundCloud.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Dan. Zach, how about you?
At first, it reminded me of, like, an old waltz, like, back and forth, kind of like nobody knows when they're down and out, like Bessie Smith. There's a certain depression to it. But then, like, it kind of, like, there's a particular bitterness. It's really gray feeling. And then, like, you felt like the change of elevation kind of escalating, and it kept growing higher. There's like a musical rhythm to the words, and nice reference to life being like a changing piece of film. I thought that was really cool. And ending on a fearless note that was triumphant, almost laughing in the face of danger, but a little bit more mellow than that.
Nice. Thank you, Zach. And Gene, how about you?
Well, before we go to me, I want everybody to know we have Naomi on board. Hello, Naomi.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Oh, we have a gig tonight. Wow.
Yeah,
cool.
We do.
A party in the place.
Bunch of party animals. Did you hear Diane's piece, hon?
Yeah, I just read to it. I heard the last bit and I read through it quickly. Yeah, I really liked Dex's comment on his grandmother. That was really funny. And I loved, you know, when she takes Diane lets their character speak, you know, and when she says, when enslaved by patterns that life arranges, where you're led to believe that nothing changes. And 86 years, one day at a time, and all things do change inside your mind. And you can imagine how true that is. Because in 86 years, you can imagine, wow, there's a lot of noise, eh? You can imagine all the different, like, technology that they went through, all those changes that they saw over the years, My gracious, it must be crazy for somebody, you know. You know, it's crazy for us. Like, for me, the computer, how it evolved. Like, I remember, you know, when I was young, the computers, like, nobody had a home computer, let alone a cell phone. My gracious, you know, just the technology, how it evolved. But imagine somebody 86 years old, my gracious, and all the things, the inventions that they saw, and all the mentalities, too, you know, that they saw. You know, even from, like Dex was saying, the simple cigarette, you know, how everybody used to smoke and it used to be cool, and now it's banned all over the world, like no smoking anymore. You're seen as, you know, it's almost like a murder, you know. It's crazy. And yeah, so, you know, taking that metaphor of just a cigarette and putting that as, you know, the way our mind changes, our ideas changes, you know, our mindset, our, you know, how we evolve over time. It's just crazy. It's amazing. Amazing rights by Diane, for sure.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, what about you?
Well, you know, I like this a lot. Diane has a great way of using rhyme and meter in her tales. I think that she did a great job with that here. I thought what she was saying was really well told throughout, and I thought there were great lines all the way through. Each one of these stanzas was really nice. But I grabbed it from here. We are all timepieces running on wind chimes. There's no seconds repeat, no minutes rewind, no minute rewinds. Change is inevitable every breath we take. Change is determined by the choices we make. My mouth opened wide, no sound to be heard. I had not expected such a composition of a word. A burnout light bulb pretending to be lit, she would draw fearless on her cigarette. You know, just so someone has, she's set in her ways, you know, 86 years. I mean, people are set in their ways. When I worked at the nursing home, when we had someone in their 80s, they're not allowed to smoke anymore. I said, why the hell not? They're 80 years old. Leave them alone. That's me. That's my thoughts on it. But I think that Diane really worded this nicely, and it was a great job. So thanks for sharing with us, Diane, as always. Absolutely.
Hi. Great comments, everybody. To me, this is that opening stanza and the finishing stanza are important. A burnt-out light bulb pretending to be lit, she would draw fearless on a cigarette. There's an implication walking up to this old woman that you see her as something less than what is normal for a person. Then she rolls into the angle of the woman herself, too thin like toast, scrawny, blue eyes, fingers shaking, gnarled, grotty, nail chipped fingers, and then she gets to that question, and then the whole thing changes into the woman's harmony, so to speak, and then she offers up this note of intelligent thought that was not expected, and you get down to the last stanza where it repeats the first stanza, you're still offering up that burnt-out light bulb pretending to be lit. She would draw fearless on a cigarette. So there's the idea of there's a wealth of knowledge and information in elderly people that nobody bothers to actually inject into society or take heed from. They just consider them that burnt-out light bulb pretending to be lit. And that's a sad fact of life, unfortunately, because they offer up perspectives that most will not think of because they haven't lived long enough to draw from life itself. So I think it's both a classic piece of ignoring what is there and also the fact that, you know what, ignore that at your own peril. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okay, well. Have I have the next poem. I do. And this one is by Zach. It's called Burmanized by Harmo Neurotica ENFPT. You're mixing up the alphabet on me. I don't know what to do. Okay, and I have an audio for that. So let me hit the button. There we go.
It's called Burmanized. Floating Berman, she turns wispy, evaporating signal smoke, crisping blue, over purple mountains, majestic hills, rear, blurring to see signs, waking, kiss the past away, split in two, buried with the shovel, resting, cremated carbon, abandoned home, net chokes, sunshine choke, vapor rise, spiral sky, fading rope, broke up, break neck, racing full highlights, rise brighter, bright and light and dead, fly by high, wild breath, under mine, the mind of kilter, toned old bones, blood silvered, marrow black, shatter, Zach stabs the past away, shattered.
Great read there, Zach. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. And you definitely turned, I wasn't expecting when you got, when that turn of phrase came, kind of a shock to the system. So thank you very much for the SoundCloud. All right, Naomi, why don't we start with you since you were the last one in the room.
Oh, my gracious. Zach. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is, you know, like, oh. You really turned hard, heavy metal on us. You know, I thought this was like Ozzy Osbourne screaming across the mic there. My gracious. Did you do that too much, Phil? That's what happened to your voice. My gracious.
I don't know.
It's a miracle that you're able to speak after that, like, I'm forcing your voice like that, my gracious. But, you know, I get it. The cremated, carbon, abandoned hope, neck chokes, sunshine toke, you know, the fading rope, the broken, the breakneck, bracing for high-rise life. You know, all the broken, the brokenness in this piece and all this, you know, the coming apart and the shattering and the, yeah, like I said, the breaking apart. You know, it really emphasized, you really emphasized it when you did that with your voice. So great piece and a great read.
Thank you, Naomi. Dex, how about you?
You know, I thought that this was a, you know, one of those, like, almost overly sexualized relationships that's toxic, that has one person thinking that this is going to lead to more, and then the other person kind of breaking off. I think that this person from the writer was expecting it to turn into more, and to say the least, was highly disappointed. So I thought it was a great write.
All right. Thank you, guys. And Jean, how about you?
I got to say, when I listened to this as I was loading it, and all of a sudden it took this heavy metal turn, I went, oh, wait a minute. And I kind of lost my perspective. Really? You know, we all know me, you know. And I went, whoa. So, I mean, it was very well emphasized. Because I read down at the bottom, it says, just a breakup, nothing too dramatic. And I went, nothing too dramatic. I laughed. But, I mean, you really, you know, when we break up, we do want to vent and verbalize and kind of get it out of our system, I guess is one way to say it. I don't know if that's right or wrong. But I think you did a fine job expressing it, Zach. You know, nice work. One of the biggest stanza, but I think I'd have to pick a couple.
Mine off kilter, toned gold, bones, blood silvered, marrow black, shatter, Zach stabs the past awake, scattered. Oh, that sounded a little dramatic to me there, man, just saying. But well done. Nice job.
Thanks. Nice. You start out light and airy. Quoting Berman, she turns wispy. That's kind of it's almost a signal right there because you've got smoke running through this whole thing. Sickness, smoke, system, blue. And then overtaking the and then it gets a little harsh. As it gets harsher, it rolls into that note of venting, getting the rant out to cleanse one's soul, so to speak. And that's where you get in the back end of marrow, black, shadow, Zach stabs the back, awake, scattered. The idea of flushing the system and getting it all out, give you the opportunity to carry that baggage forward. But to me, this is that use of venting it all out altogether. I think that's actually on the right side as well.
Thanks. It's very cathartic.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Yep. Get it out of your system. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see now.
Faith is on the board, too.
Hello. We got lots of stuff happening out there.
And Rosie as well. Damn, we got a band crew.
That's right. Good night. Okay, now the next one I'm going to put up is called Cave Shadows by Puddles 33. And the note that she had listed with this is like the first piece that she had posted on Wall Poetry. I have an audio for this. So here we go. Let me go and find it. Here we go.
Cave Shadows by Barb Christing. Step by step, the light grows dim. The darkness takes control. The watercolors all run dry. Black pigments fill the bowl. No errant touch can give you sight. Those scrapes against the wall. Just tear your flesh and break your bones. Don't stumble now, you'll fall. Stand quiet, rest and acclimate. Let breaths begin to ease. Don't panic here at Satan's gate. He'll drop you to your knees. Listen to the silence. It can drive you quite insane. The lack of sound reverberates inside your feeble brain. You seem confused and at a loss at how you came to be. In the middle of this empty space, the void is all you see. You walked in here all by yourself. Nobody pushed you in. Inch by inch, you left the light, enveloped by your sin. You crave life's golden idols, build towers with your pride. You feast on juicy gossip while it desiccates your hide. You chase the path of ignorance and can't find honor's door. It's lies and sick duplicity that nourishes your core. Well, this, my friend, has led you here to the cave of deep regret. Your eyes wide open still can't see the shadows of your net. You set the trap, you laid the snare, you caught yourself a fool. But the person you have captured is the one upon your stool. So turn around, retrace your steps, and give yourself some hope, or this darkness will consume you. And cave shadows slip the rope.
Great piece.
Great read, Puddles. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Zach, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, wow. Speaker just basically invading the mind of the reader, forcing them to face all their fears, and their mind starts to kind of warp through the kind of, like, the silence, and it got like me thinking we were like in Lilith's realm or something, and just driving the reader absolutely insane until the bitter end, as it were.
Nice. Thank you. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I read that Barb's AAN And, you know, she says it was inspired by a song, the music of Nick Cave. I don't know him, but I'm definitely going to look him up, because if he sends you into such a trance like this, my gracious, you know, inspire me to write something I've been not writing for days. But, you know, this is just amazing. You know, there's so much emotion, so much like this kind of darkness throughout this write, you know, of the past, you know, catching up with a person, all the bad that they've done in their life, like if they were, you know, they weren't really kind, I don't think, with other people, maybe egocentric, I don't know if you should say that in English, egocentric, ego, I know, anyway, you know, they just have these big egos, and they just think of themselves all the time, and then, you know, that catches up with you after a while. People just start to evade you from their life, and they don't want you around anymore. And, you know, you end up all by yourself. And this is what I feel here in this write. But I feel also, you know, in the last stanza, especially, she gives them hope, you know, go back. And maybe, go back on your steps, retrace your steps, and give yourself some hope. You know, try and make up for that. You know, go back and do good. So wonderful write by Barbara, you know, by Puddles here. And, you know, wonderful take on that artwork, you know, of somebody feeling all alone. And, yeah, wonderful flow and rhythm all through the piece. Wonderfully well done.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I feel like this is a wonderful piece about depression. And, you know, I can absolutely see where Naomi's coming from on this. But I absolutely see that when there are genuinely good people depressed, that they feel this way also. When you have a very, like, kind of kind heart, or, like, when you care about people, sometimes you can tend to focus on the things that maybe the mistakes that you've made, and they haunt you more. You know, I think that there's some people that are very ill-hearted and very mean that really don't give a shit about some of these things. But this seems to me like almost this a depression sinking in deep, feeling, and a feeling of that maybe you're not good enough, or like you shouldn't be expecting anything else other than this dark and empty place. And I think that can happen to very kind people, and that your mind can confuse you as far as just your typical mistakes, as far as being ignorant and being dark and being all of these things, because it's like you know better. And so I think that this is an incredible write.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. And what about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent piece by Puddles. And I read the AN, too, and I laughed because I'm familiar with some of Nick Cave's work. And when you're listening to it, it's not all pretty stuff, you know. And it kind of can, like, make you look inside and kind of weigh out all these different pieces and parts of you. And I'll say that it's just not cut and dry music, but it's very well done. And I have to say, I enjoyed all of this. I thought the rhyme and meter was excellent all the way through. But you chase the path of ignorance and can't find honor's door. It lies a sick duplicity that nourishes your core. Well, this, my friend, has led you here to the cave of deep regret. Your eyes wide open still can't see the shadows of your net. You set the trap, you laid the snare, you caught yourself a fool, but the person you have captured is the one upon your stool. So turn around, retrace your steps, and give yourself some hope, or this darkness will consume you, and cave shadows slit the rope. Just a great piece, Barb, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely. Well done.
Nice. Great comments, everybody. I'm going to go with, this is a fair warning, a middle demon with a note to offering up what you're going, what you can expect, because you are, because she walks into that note of Satan's gate. So the first thing I thought of was lasciate ogni speranza voi che entrate, that note, beware ye who enter here. This whole thing walks that note of beware of what you do, especially with that those last few stands on the back end. You crave life's golden idols, build towers with your pride. You feast on juicy gossip while it desiccates your hide. You chase the path of ignorance and can't find honor's door. It's lies and sick duplicity that nourishes your core. And then that finish with the note of, there is a note of hope, but the idea is you have to want to be willing to take those steps to replace what you've done before and walk on a path that can hold you to the light itself. So I like it that way. And thank you very much, Barb, and you've got a great voice.
Absolutely. I'll agree with that. She's a great reading voice. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is called Stunt and Growth 2, Magical Play. And this is by Olivier, and I have an audio for this. And Rex, I'll be right back, so don't call me first. Okay, let me see now. Where is it? Here it is.
May we play with your toys, please?
Growth smiles. Of course you may, if I may watch a while.
Yeah, whatever.
Stunt growls through the air. Growth rolls his eyes and props up a bear. Growth's flower glows and grows in size. My teddy bear blinks his two button eyes. He shivers alive and ruffles his fur before he sounds out the cutest
roar
ever heard. Stump tries to bring a dinosaur to life, but his flower won't glow and won't grow in size. Tiny blue tears start to form in his eyes, so Teddy and Growth rush to his side. They both give Stump warm bear hugs, and Stump's flower dimly glows from their love. Stump's little flower tries to undo its bend, but his flower's glow fades, and it wilts again. His violet eyes swell with blue tears, and then he slips away to cry alone in the tin. Growth and Teddy attempt to console their friend, but their calls don't seem to reach him. And then...
roar!
Sounds out so loudly, my room rumbles.
My goodness, Teddy!
Growth stammers and stumbles. Wasn't me. Teddy's whisper follows a gulp. The dinosaur is alive. Stomp, stomp, stomp. Stump must have heard the roar from within. Or perhaps it was Growth and Teddy banging,
let us in! Let us in! Stump, let us in!
But whatever it was, I think they'll all think again about bringing to life a T-Rex for a friend. But at least Stump now believes that he can. As their most magical play comes to an end.
Great read, Olivier. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this seems like which would be a weird comment to make, but it's almost like a modern classical European folklore tale or something like that, because it has almost a modern twist to it, but it has also too that classical feel to it, and so. It's a very unique rite, and it's almost perfect. You know, I almost can't categorize it, but it's almost perfect in the category that the writer was going for, because it definitely has a modern spiel to it. But man, the reading and the voice and everything kind of go with it, and the responses, right? Sun form flower dimly glows from their love. It was just your classical rhyme, but it just seemed like it was very much tempered in your classic European kind of folklore. So very well done.
I like that. Nice. Thank you, Dex. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I get what Dex was getting at. You know, it does have this, like, this classical feel. Like, it's not, it's like a childhood tale, but for a grown-up, you know, because of that classical feel. And, you know, I was zoomed into the names of the characters, like Growth and Stunt, and, you know, then there's the teddy bear. And, you know, I wonder if, you know, that has to have something to do with it. You know, growth, you're growing, but the stunt doesn't want to grow your imagination to flourish or something. You know, so I really, you know, was looking at those names, and they were making me think, you know, like provoking all kinds of thoughts in my head. And I think this is a very thought-provoking piece. I think it's fun. It's, you know, there's humor to it with the dinosaur and everything. But I think also, you know, it's a form of a thought-provoking piece that makes you think on pause and think about the loss of your imagination in some way and how it can be stunted in some ways as you grow up. So, you know, I was left with those thoughts. But, you know, I really, really enjoyed that SoundCloud, the voices, and the way it was written. So very, very well done, Olivia.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Zach, how about you?
It reminded me of, like, a Tim Burton, like, gothic buddy comedy for kids. But, like, then again, there's that deep gothic sensibility, the tones kind of like bringing forth like a wonderful kind of dripping whimsy to the piece that was really delightful. And I love the series of voices used to narrate the piece. And it reminded me of like a real clown car of voices. So very well done.
I like that. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, the voicings in this were wonderfully done. I mean, this kind of hits on the note of Dr. Seuss meets Alice in Wonderland. It does walk in that realm of, because Stunt is obviously going to be the kid. So you offer up that note, Stunt, as the smaller angle of things. And then the Teddy and Growth are that, is that note to wanting to grow. So it rolls around love in that nature. And it does roll around in imagination and wonder in what children can get into with their own imagination. So, nicely done, Olivia. Thank you very much. You're back in. Oh, yes, you're back.
I am. Surprise. I do want to say that I really enjoy Olivia's poetry. It's always family friendly. At least what I've read, I've never seen anything that kind of goes past that. And this is actually part two. We had read part one, I don't know, a month ago or so. So anyone who has the opportunity to go back and read the beginning, you know, I think it's just an ongoing tale. And I love his work because it is whimsical and it is fun. And I love that it's family friendly. You know, sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. And, you know, I kind of like it and I like rhymes. So I'm in. So thank you, Olivia, for sharing with us. And I appreciate that very much. Okay, kids. Where am I going now?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I think I'll find out.
Don't we?
Well, that's right. The next one I have is by Pam Ray, The Goblet Filled with Liquid Bliss. And I'm going to put that up, and I have an audio for this one, too. I got lots of audios tonight, so you all get to rest your voice a little bit.
Okay, and I'm thankful for that every day. Okay, here we go.
The goblet filled with liquid bliss. The Reaper wanders through rolling lands, a silver goblet in skeletal hands, a gentle hiss from invisible lips, making promises of liquid bliss. Truly, truly, he boldly declares, 'tis the best barley drink, I solemnly swear. Just take one sip, I'm sure you'll find, 'tis better than the old king's wine. Your spirit will soar, your mind will dance, just give the amber glow a chance. A bit of poison makes fine medicine, for virtue is oft found in footprints of sin. Young and old, rich and poor, we'll all rest upon the threshing floor. Each delicate drip from this dram is sweeter than dear grandma's flan. You'll adore it near as much as haggis, find yourself frolicking in vineyards with Bacchus. It will speak to you in the loveliest of sighs, more tempting than a virgin's thighs. Come and ride upon theatrical cusp, an offering from the ancient boss. End poem.
Great weekend. Thank you for that time. Very much appreciated. And Dean, we're going to start with you.
Okie dokie. Well, this is a great piece by Pam. And, you know, we all know I love the rhyme. You know, I do. I love to hear that in my ear, so it's nothing unusual. But I'm not sure where I want to pick up, but, you know, here it is. Your spirit will soar, your mind will dance. Just give the amber glow a chance. A bit of poison makes fine medicine, for fortune is oft found in footprints of sin. Young and old, rich and poor, will all rest upon the threshing floor. His delicate drip from this dram is sweeter than dear grandma's flan. Boy, she just makes it all seem so enticing, doesn't she? I don't know, Pam. She do make me nervous sometimes. So it's a great piece. I really enjoyed it. I'm not sure if what's in a contest called Burns Night. Well, Pam, good luck in the contest. I think this is a wonderful piece. I like the references throughout. And, you know, definitely a wonderful write. So thanks for sharing.
I see. Thank you. And Dex, how about you?
Did you say Dex?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought this was a great piece. Almost could have been written by Dionysus himself or whatever. You know, this is like the alcoholic's anthem or whatever you want to say. This is almost the creation of beer and the hooking. And your spirit will soar, your mind will dance, you will give me the amber glow a chance. A little bit of poison makes fine medicine. You know, you always try to make it out to be something better than what it is. And you'll adore this, and you know, it makes everything better and all of these different things, but it, in the end, it's really what is absolutely killing you. The goblet filled with bliss, Pam nailed it on the head in creating this alcoholic's demise. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I got that this was the death, you know, that's going around offering up death, offering up a poison, offering up the death as a disguising death as something beautiful, as something that you will escape to and enjoy and sleep peacefully for eternally, you know, and that's what I got from it. And wonderful, wonderful job, you know, Pam did with this this rhyming and this telling this tale, and you know, very, very well done. She's not one word out of place, and beautifully done. It's kind of like a witchcraft that she thread here, you know, a witchcraft of the devil speaking to you, that's hypnotizing you and into, you know, into taking this poison to go join them. If I can make it so that sounds kind of mixed up, but that's what I kind of got out of it.
Yeah.
Well done, Pam.
Thank you, Naomi. And Zach, how about you?
I was thinking of death, entering a valley, the solemnly swear part kind of gave it away for me, and I was like, oh, geez, it's got to be poison. She's up to no good. Kind of full of shit now. Kind of gave it away. Oh, man, I loved it. Kind of like enough of the poison. You know, there was a deepness to it, kind of like sinking in, like a narcotic or kind of like a neurotoxin. And there was such an intoxication to the nostalgia of the plan, kind of like in hiding this rotten interior. I felt like the bitter sting of like the aftertaste of like alcohol. It was very well done.
Nice. Thank you. I'm going to go with it walks a note of celebration, especially broken up with the Reaper wanders through rolling land, a silver goblet in skeletal hands, a gentle hiss from invisible lips, making promises of liquid bliss. So the idea of rolling, it is on the lines of death, but this kind of hits me with the idea of what you do at a wake. You've got the body standing in the corner, so to speak, of the coffin, and everyone's hanging out and enjoying the moment, celebrating the passing, but also it's not a tear parade, it's a note to the life they've led, the cheers and the memories that unfold from that angle. So nicely done, Pam.
Absolutely.
All right, Gene, way back on you.
I'll agree with everybody, but I got to say, only Pam could make being poisoned seem almost like enticing. That's what I'm going to say about that. She's got that way about her. Look out. Anyway. Oh, good. I thought I was on mute. Everybody was so dead quiet. Okay, I'll be good now. This one is called Another Shadow, Another Door. And this is by Aaron Panther. And again, I have an audio for this. So let me hit the button.
Another Shadow, Another Door by Aaron Panther. Lines have been drawn and redrawn on this barren ground, and between every platitude still lingering in shadow after each enduring tempest. Nothing begins or ends without at least acknowledging it. Silence breaks the dawn where the trill of songbirds would usually apply. Such is the desperation that defines the hour. No sanctuary seemingly proud enough to hold their name. Fall into the reverence of negative space, seeking naught but a measure of resurrection, a whisper of spirit willing to fight on and find that last open door. Small glimmers of light filter deeply now into the waning shadows, like a burdensome weight has been crane lifted off so very weary shoulders. And the songbirds once again sing proudly, etching their names upon my door. End poem.
Great read, Aaron. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Oh, absolutely. What a wonderful, you know, thought-provoking, right? What a profound, right? You know, he starts off right away, you know, he's lingering in the shadows there. You know, like his soul is caught there in the darkness and in the sadness. And then he says such an important thing, you know, nothing begins or ends without at least acknowledging it. And, you know, it's so true, you know, when you think back, you know, you have to recognize that, you know, you're in a bad place or you want to get out of that bad place before you can start taking the steps forward. But, you know, the way he says silence breaks the dawn, where the trill of songbirds would usually apply, that's such an amazing line there, you know. Instead of having that, you know, the songbird at dawn, you have this silence, this overwhelming silence. And then right down to, you know, till the end where, you know, he invites you to just, you know, catch those small glimmers of light, you know, filter them in and wane your shadow off there and rid yourself of the burden. But, you know, it's so eloquently crafted, this poem, all throughout. I just loved it so much. Bravo, or an errant panther. Beautiful, right?
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. Zach, how about you?
Really well done. I love the lines drawn, in the sand boundaries, sort of kind of like before a battle almost in a way, I thought, but stormy. And then like such a kind of silence again, and the silence, like a forest clearing kind of breaking out, but like after the tempest, and such a nautical sense of peace and like kind of like a shy optimism. Very well done.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And Jean?
Well, this was a wonderful piece. Each one of the vignettes was very well written. I kind of come in on the first one. Lines have been drawn and redrawn on this barren ground, and between every platitude still lingering in shadow after each enduring tempest. Nothing begins or ends without at least acknowledging it. And I know I heard Naomi quote part of that. But I have to say that the end of this really, it does bring some light, you know, because small glimmers of light filter deeply now into the waning shadows, like a burdensome weight has been crane lifted off so very weary shoulders. And the songbirds once again sing proudly, etching their names upon the door. It kind of makes me want to say, this too shall pass. No matter what happens in our lives, you know, we struggle sometimes and we fight and we work our way through it. And, you know, we always hope for that bit of light at the end, because nothing, you know, lasts forever. Nothing. And so I think this was just a really well-written piece, Erin Panther, and thank you so much. Great audio, and I appreciate it. Nice job.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the thought of lines have been drawn and redrawn, this barren ground between every platitude still lingering shadow after each enduring tempest. There's a note of pain and anguish in that. The thought of nothing begins or ends without at least acknowledging it. So I'm going with the idea of a relationship ending. And then you get that second vignette, which is all about loneliness in the moment, silence, no sanctuary, and then fall. And then fall into reverence of negative space, seeking naught but a measure of resurrection. There's that idea of the broken heart seeking something besides the pain felt in the moment, and that whisper of spirit, willing to fight on and find that last open door, which brings me to the title itself, Another Shadow, Another Door, the idea of when one door closes, another door opens, which is reverent in that last stanza, coming out of that funk which you're in because of that breakup, and understanding those songbirds will sing once more. All you have to do is open that very door, which has been left ajar for you to stride through and see the sun once again upon your face, and the sound of music that fills the ears. So, nicely done, Erin.
Absolutely.
Hey, Rex, can I get one in on this?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Dex. Damn.
Sorry, I didn't mean to even cut in. I took this as I actually read this almost as if it was talking about Native Americans, because it was like they had everything ripped from them, and you know, the silence of the breaking dawn, the trills of the songbirds, all of that kind of stuff was taken from them, and the spirit of the whisper of the spirit, the willingness to fight. There's so much of this that seems almost as if it was written from a Native American's perspective of having their land taken from them in genocide almost. And the fall of all of this, I don't know. Like I said, this one hit me heavily on the side of being the person on the other side of a genocide and having everything taken from you. And so I thought it was a fantastic write by Aaron.
That's a great comment there, Dex. Thank you very much. And my apologies for missing you.
It's a Rex Dex thing.
Yeah,
it's hard. Okay, I'm going
to
put the next piece up by Jessica C. Wheeler. And we all got to get to work after this because we have readings to do. Just saying. Anyway, I'm going to read this one, and then I'm coming to you guys because I have three male pieces. Shattered Shores by Jessica C. Wheeler. For years, I weathered wind and rain by stacking rocks relentlessly to build a tolerance for pain. I held no quarrels with the sea. I watched the tides come in my cave. They never seemed to notice me. Until the day a tidal wave came crashing down a ruthless blow and marked each fallen rock a grave. Held captive in the undertow, I spin upon an endless wheel that with only waves of grief to know. Fresh wounds replace the ones that heal. All hope slips from my fist like sand. Within the depths of loss, I kneel. If I should find the strength to stand, the sea will only reprimand. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Zach, why don't we start with you?
The water, just felt the water, like the lowering and the falling, the waves of grief. And I think that's an image that a lot of people return to, the waves of grief, especially. It's reoccurring in a lot of rites. But this one especially, you know, you can only just be dragged down by it. And, like the sea, only you could just feel how it will rise again eventually. And, hopefully the poet will soon, and they will.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Zach. Naomi, how about you?
Well, you know, me and the sea, I love a poem, you know, and about the ocean, the sea. But, you know, this is very well done, you know. For years I weathered wind and rain by stacking rocks relentlessly to build a tolerance for pain. You know, I have no quarrels with the sea, but, you know, the sea comes for her. And, you know, it's a great extended metaphor for life. You know, those waves that come at you. And, you know, you can learn to stand. You can gain strength. But they'll keep coming. Life keeps coming. And, you know, you keep getting stronger, you know, to be able to stand. But the life keeps coming at you. Troubles keeps coming at you. And, you know, you're rocking you to the core. And, you know, I think that's a great extended metaphor just for, you know, the pain and life and all the tribulations that life can throw at you. So great write by Jessica C. Wheeler here.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I feel like this is the broken part of individuality. I feel like this is individuality being crushed by society. And that's what they're talking about. Flesh wounds upon that heals one soap in the depths I kneel. I should find the strength to stand, to see that will only reprimand. I feel like that's like society, right? I mean, it's society beating down on you with the force of waves that is shaping you, like almost like your rocks on the shore. So I thought that this was a great writing.
I like that. Thank you, Dex. And Jean, you got to read it.
You know, it was a wonderful piece. Yes, it was nicely penned and well expressed. And I kind of went with what Naomi was saying. The waves coming again and again, because life does keep coming at you, you know, trying to keep us down. It seems, you know, it's probably not exactly true, but it feels that way. But our challenge is to become strong and meet each wave, you know, with a vengeance and say, no, I'm not going down this time. You know, I'm going to be stronger and I'm going to, you know, get better at this. So that's the way I feel about it. And I, you know, Naomi, I have to thank you, because I was like, okay, where am I going? And you kind of gave me a little direction on that. So I appreciate it. Absolutely. So great job, Jessica. And thanks for sharing.
Nice. I got to go with, I like what Dex had to say, but this kind of hit me with the idea of someone who's hurt, whether it be a death, whether it be a lost love or something, walked in on themselves, started stacking those rocks as a break, something to shield themselves from the pain. Yes, you can't hide the pain. It's going to be there. So you get that eventual wave which breaks over the note of what you built, but it also opens up very new wounds, because all of a sudden what held you in that cave to begin with is now flush and in the open, and it's bringing on its own pain with something else behind it. You kept it hidden. Now you're walking the long road down that painful shore of, oh, this is going to take a lot longer to heal from, because you've kept it inside instead of letting it go, so to speak. So, nicely done, Jessica. All right. Nice.
Okay. Well, I'm coming back to you, Rex. I'm going to sit Dex. See what happens. This one is called Goodbye, Old Friend by Ben Hart. So whenever you're ready.
Goodbye, Old Friend by Ben Hart. I wonder if he walked in his own procession, if sunlight ricocheted from his cheeks back to ours just as warm as we remember them, and if he listened to the birds still singing his name with cheer, if he let it sip through his fingers, all our ties converging on the wounds, the part of every one of us now missing. I wonder if he counted the flowers, shook our hands without us knowing, if he walked the aisles and embraced us for our tears, but ever more so for our laughter. I wonder if he laughed when his dad asked if they could turn up the music, if he noted the way the sunlight fell through the curtains whenever someone needed the strength to speak, and if he applauded them or just sat there in silence alongside us, because for such a feat of bravery, every one of them should have been welcomed down from the lectern like they once welcomed home the heroes of war. But out of respect, we sit, echoing back the silence that is left in us. I don't know what happened, man, but today showed me that there's so many people more alive because of you. You gave me the name my mother now calls me by, that my friends all call me by, as a joke, of course, but I won't wear it as a joke. And now I will wear it as a reminder of you. Goodbye, old friend. I hope we meet again. And poem.
Nice.
Dex, wanted to start with you.
Yeah, to me, this has the promise of marriage, right? This is the promise of love should be, right? As he listens to the birds still singing with his name in the cheer, tides covering our wounds. This is a damaged girl that's hoping that this marriage is her ride out of this damaging situation. And unfortunately, something kind of transpires that leaves her back in her old place, right? That's almost like a thing that, you know, you end up back, you know, if you're a damaged person, you it's hard to leave that bubble of being damaged. And so this is a damaged person that was taking on marriage and the love of their life. And they thought and they hoped that this was going to lead them out of this area of grief. But it actually led them right back to it. So very well done by Ben.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. Naomi, how about you?
Well, I didn't see the same thing. I saw somebody at a funeral of his best friend has passed away, and he's just wondering, you know, he's just remembering his friend in that moment, and it's so beautiful. You know, he's wondering if he's listening to the birds singing his name, or, you know, if he's sitting down beside somebody, if he's embracing somebody that's in tears, or if he's laughing with somebody who's remembering it, you know, maybe a moment they passed together. You know, I see this as a lovely tribute to a loved one, and he's saying goodbye. Good, like he says in the end, goodbye, old friend. I hope we meet again. And it's very, I thought it was so touching, and you know, my heart goes out to Ben. You know, if this, you know, if he really went through this, you know, all my condolences, and, you know, it's really heartfelt, right? And that really pulls at your heartstrings.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. Zach, how about you?
Well, this brought to mind for me a person narrating their own funeral. Like I could see the ghost gallivanting at the service, like kind of noticing every last beautiful piece of reverence of the service out of everyone, and lots of death-like imagery from that. It was a very much an out-of-body experience, but out of remembrance, and a very touching elegy at that.
Nice. Thank you, Zach. Gene?
Hello. Yes, I just went off of that page for a second. I thought this was a nicely written piece, you know, and I feel sorry for his loss, because it does seem that it's absolutely that. I thought it was a nicely penned tribute to someone close to him. And I picked it up here because for such a feat of bravery, every one of them should have been welcomed down from that lectern like they once welcomed home the heroes of war. But out of respect, we sit, echoing back the silence that this left in us. I don't know what happened, man, but today showed me that there's so many people more alive because of you. You gave me the name my mother now calls me by, that my friends all call me by. As a joke, of course, but I don't wear it as a joke. And now I will wear it as a reminder of you. Goodbye, old friend. I hope we meet again. I think that was just so heartfelt. That whole segment there. Not that the rest was not, but I think that really was the warmth of the piece. So great job, Ben, and thank you for sharing. Absolutely.
Nice. Great comments, everybody. Yes, this was about death, and it also was about that note of hope, because he offers it. I wonder if he walked in his own procession, and I wonder if the count of the flowers shook our hands without us knowing, if he walked the aisle and embrace us for our tears, but ever more so for our laughter. So there's that note of a wistful thought. While everybody's being silent and reverent, he's wondering if he's striding amongst the masses, those there to honor him, and tipping his hat, so to speak, as a last goodbye, because he got that note. Goodbye, old friend. I hope we meet again. There, that note. You might not be here in largesse, but I can feel you in spirit. So thank you very much, Ben.
Right. Good night, Puddles. Have a good night. Okay, let me see now. The next piece I'm going to put up, Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read. And this is called Stop Trying, Period, by Darkened Auras.
Okay. Stop Trying, period. Like a new LP, your period just stopped, just dropped, and the sad disappointment could not be stopped. You know, it will be fun trying again, but you want your new chapter of life to begin. It's all you have wanted since the day you got married, but every month your hopes are dashed and buried. Ellipsis each time as you hold your breath, another long line, another quick death. You've gone through endless years of strife. You want this next sentence to be 18 to life. You give up on trying, it won't happen anyway. But guess what? Two lines finally showed up today. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. Jean, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, I think this is a great piece by Darkened Auras. I'm not sure if this is, I'm not sure if it's about her or if it's about someone she knows. But someone who wants to be pregnant so badly and tries and tries and tries, and she doesn't get there until she stops trying. You know, that's that happens so often. You know, that people keep themselves so worked up trying to become pregnant, and it's like, yeah, red light, that's going to happen. And the next thing you know, things change. But it says here, my surprise period made me think of this metaphorical poem about a woman desperately wanting to be a mother and it never happening until she stops trying. I think that's awesome. And it was well written, Dark and Auras, and it had nice brevity. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Dex, how about you?
Is there something? So there's actually something to me so beautiful about this piece. About a mother, you know, there's something that's just, that obviously being a male, I don't know, but from a mother, that there's something that is something that Fairy is clinging to, the apron strings, almost, as if you will. You know, my mother, unfortunately, had four miscarriages around me that were all boys. So I couldn't imagine having five boys. I'm an only child, and I was born dead. So I was like I don't know. I just happened to be the miracle child, and so this one really resonated with me as far as the motherly side of it, because my mom was desperately trying to make this happen. And so I thought that this was just an incredibly lovely piece.
Nice, Dex. And Naomi, you got to read it.
Yeah, you know, I love how this is laid out, you know. Another long line, another quick death. You know, there's such sadness in that line, you know. Long line, you know, that could be the line on the stick, you know, that the stick that tells you you're pregnant, because there's those sticks with one line you're not pregnant, and when two lines light up you are pregnant. But it can be a metaphor for so many other things. It could be a metaphor for the long line of sadness that you know, you witness, you're going through, you know, failed attempt after failed attempt. You know, it could be that long line of, you know, that when you flat line, when you're dead, you know, that line could be so many things. And then when you get down to two lines finally showed up today, well, that two lines on the stick, but also two lines meaning, you know, two bodies, two living, breathing people, you know, the mother and the baby, they're there, you know, there's two lines. So, you know, there's a great, great write by Darkened Auras and a beautiful, beautiful, you know, full of emotion and a wonderful write that just brings you a smile.
Nice. You get into that well, Naomi. Thank you. And Zach, how about you?
I really loved it. I loved how it seemed to lead into a bit of a double entendre with the record dropping, and then it kind of like flip-flops back and forth like a record, and you get the sense of age kind of wearing thin a little bit, which I can imagine with unfortunate the real life coming into play, but yet the record's still there, and it takes a kind of instinct to keep that going, to kind of like to nest and to love, and I really enjoyed that feeling kind of permeating throughout the poem. Really, really well done.
Absolutely, the metaphor Christina dripped within this was nicely done. Like a new LP, you continue playing. It seems like you, the same old song, so to speak. And then offers up your period just dropped, and it stands disappointed that it might be stopped. You know it will be fun trying again, but you want your new chapter of life to begin. So each line walks itself into the next one, into the next one, into the next one, until you get that full openness in it. And I did like that that note in the back end. Two lines finally showed up today, that positive on the stick, because you weren't expecting it to begin with because of all those previous failures, so to speak. So it was a nice break and peace. Thank you, Christina.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm getting snug here. I have about 8 rights left. Ha, 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 ha. So I'm going to put this one up and ask, wow, what did I just do? I don't know what I did, but it didn't work so good. Okay. Zach, I'm going to ask you to read this one for us. And this is
okay.
A piece by Tom Kovic, and it's called Invisible Ink.
Right. Invisible Ink. Christina Marr wrote, "You draw your lines with invisible ink. I never know when they crossed one. My wife has no lines, only open borders, no guard dogs, towers, helicopters, or guns, no sleight of hand, mirrors and smoke, or hats with rabbits. Just here I am, boy, a smoother, greener path to follow." And Tom.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
This is a very interesting poem. You have invisible lines. I'm trying to read the AN. Except my beautiful wife and walls and barriers that shouldn't be open. Tell the truth. And love someone. Peace. I don't know. I don't want to cross the lines on what I'm actually thinking on this one. But it almost feels like you have certain morals, and then maybe your wife just has, or somebody has flirty tendencies. Is what I'm taking out of this, and I'll just leave it at that. And I thought it was a fantastic ring.
Nice. Thank you very much, Dex. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I just saw it as a kind of an ode to his wife, that she's an open person, and you know, that there's no barriers with her, and that she's just an open, accepting person, and with no hidden agendas, and just a lovable, loving person. And great tribute to his wife. And I love that about Tom Kovic's writes. They're always direct and authentic and raw and real. So bravo.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Naomi. And Zach, you got to read it. How about you?
There's such a strength to it. Invisible ink to draw from the lines. Such an amount of density to that. There's such a strength of character that cannot be rectified by anything. No guard dogs or borders, like, or anything, just so open. without letting their guard down. No smoking mirrors or anything, just open, no mystery involved. It was very well done, especially the greener pasture to follow at the end of it, kind of just ending on a note of optimism, and that was nice.
Nice. Thank you. Gene, what about you?
Well, you know, I think that this was just a lovely piece written for his wife. There is a certain comfort level when you're married for so many years. I think they've been married like 48 years or 50 years or, you know, I know he words that every so often in his poetry. And I think what it comes down to is after so long, you don't have those barriers. You don't have those stipulations, you know, there's no, like, you know each other so well that, you know, just where all the boundaries lie. And they're usually not with the other person, so it's very well done. So thanks, Jack. Nice job.
It's that second three-line stanza. I never know when I've crossed one. There's a note to especially with what comes there. The note to secrets, lies, what you keep hidden is what destroys relationships. So if you're open and honest with each other. Benny, it's that last note with such a cool tone. Just here I am, boy, a smoother, greener path to follow. That idea of if you're open, honest, truthful, and you keep everything up front with your partner, then you know what? Life is a whole lot simpler and a whole lot more pleasurable.
Absolutely.
Nicely etched there, Jack. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up is called A Dark Dirge by Budo. And this one is for Dexter to read because he's chomping at the bit and he can't wait. So whenever you're ready, Dex.
All right. He picks a plectrum via thumb strokes, fingers striking gracefully. Unto guided strings to evoke a most laminated tone of mirrors, minors, this be not a celebratory ceremony as it weighs deep in discourse, a most melodious course, curse of the end that justifies his means. In the finality of all, we know too well, it is this song he bleeds. And when nigh, we'll draw a heavy sigh, and with one puff, another light will be snuffed out. End poem.
Great read, Dick. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, why don't you put the belt?
Well, I think that this is a great write by Budo. He picks a plectrum via thumb strokes, fingers striking gracefully, unto gilded strings to evoke a most lamenting tone of minors. I love how he started this out here. And then it goes on and it says, you know, it is this song he bleeds, and when nigh will draw a heavy sigh, and with one puff, another light will be snuffed out. You know, a dirge is a funeral song, am I not correct?
Yeah.
And some artists will play that dark type of music. And I think that this goes very well with the image that's here. And I have to assume that maybe that was a prompt. And I think it was just, it was well done. He says dark and death down in his author's notes. So, I mean, that's where his mind was in this. And I think he nailed that. So great job, Budo. And thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks, Gene. Zach, how about you?
So good. Gracefully done. It reminded me of A Dark Dirge. It reminded me of Qui-Don again, the earless strumming of the guitar, like a westernized version of Hoichi the Earless, especially the bleeding of the heavy breath of the catharsis at the end. It was very cool. It just brought to mind Qui-Don immediately and all the way through.
Thank you, Zach. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this is so well written by Budo, you know. And you know, it's as if it is death himself that is strumming there. You know, those minors and that death song. It's as if it's him himself that's there. You know, and another light will be snuffed out as he plays. So beautifully done, Budo, and really, really enjoyed this one.
Thank you, Naomi. Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this could be interpreted in two ways. I like the way that the thought of Death playing the guitar. I'm sorry, Budo, knocking the rust off. That was not my best read. But I thought that this was a great piece. But there's two different ways that you could interpret this. I thought that it could be Death playing it, and also could be the music industry playing it, and the death that they're dealing out by issuing out horseshit with bad intentions and bad ideas and stuff to the youth. Right? I mean, this could be interpreted as the mind control of the youth, almost, through music. And so I thought that this was a fantastic piece.
I like that thought. Nice. This does have that nice, well, undertone of what you roll with the blues, something that pulls at the heart. You know, it's sad, it's sorrowful. It dips into that magic of, and it is about death, so it does walk that line. And because it's of the end that justifies its means, in the finality of all, we know too well, it is this song he bleeds. It's this note of surreality in the moment, that understanding of one soul passing over to the next angle, so to speak. And with one puff, another light will be snuffed out. So it's almost like the Reaper isn't just coming with the sky. He's an old blues player, and he brings that note to deliver the soul to the next angle of life. So I like it on that level, too. Nicely done, Budo. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Jane.
So now I'm going to put Naomi's piece up. Sorry, Naomi, it took me all night to get here.
No problem.
Built a wall by Naomi Sarah. So Naomi, whenever you're ready.
Yes, I have built a wall. Inside my world, I have built a wall. A story scripted, brick by brick. There since many a year, holding together with fairy tale dust and mystery mortar. Standing tall in any weather, where to it clings ghosts as ivy vines tracing pathways as fading stars. As often a time I've let it take my worries and weight to support my weary legs as I lean into the slowness of time under the silent shimmer of its romantic shade. Letting my daydreams drift so wonderfully silly as they are, dancing in words as playful as the dappled sunlight that drips upon my skin, forming sweet golden pools, honey tones, soft and soothing, that I move my hand through my fingertips gliding through amber nectar that flows and flies in a fantasy of swoops and swirls. Bringing a frisson of joy to my eyes, spreading through my body and over my mind, as warm and comforting as an old friend's smile, as the pitter-patter of rain on a quiet Sunday afternoon, quenching and soothing my aching soul. My creative self morphing into lyrics and music as whispers of a familiar fable tells me I have come home. As I skip through pages to lands afar and poems.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. Dex, why don't you kick it off for us, please?
Yeah, this is a wonderful piece. You know, you know, to build a wall is built on insecurities, right? You know, to build a wall is built on insecurity. And that metaphor is awesome throughout the beginning. And then I feel like as it goes on, you know, my trips upon my skin forming honeydew soft soothing that I move my hand through my fingertips gliding through the amber nectar, that there's still a pleasure happening within the walls that is happening. It's just about whether or not there's still a need being met here within the walls. But the walls are put up to keep society out, and I thought this was a beautiful piece.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Gene, what about you?
Well, you know, I thought there's wonderful imagery and metaphors in this, Naomi. And, you know, the wonder of books and reading. You know, you can build a wall with those, I'll tell you, because there's no better feeling than being lost inside of all the wonderful stories and tales you can find. And they can take you from one extreme to another. And I picked this up, bringing a frisson of joy to my eyes, spreading through my body and over my mind, as warm and comforting as an old friend's smile, as the pitter-patter of rain on a quiet Sunday afternoon. And I did take that all the way down to the bottom, but I'm not going to take up Rex's chance to comment with that. But it was a wonderful, wonderful piece, and very much enjoyed. So thanks for sharing with us. As always, great job.
Thank you, Zach.
How about you? Sorry, was it me? Yeah. Zach, you there? Oh, yeah, sorry. It was a nice try. I love the fading into the imagination of the writer. It was very much a fantastical sort of imagery, a melting surrealness, reminding me of Pan's Labyrinth from Guillermo del Toro, and it reminded me of like the essence of the writer, sort of like a well of creativity that was far reaching. Very well done.
Thank you, Zach.
Right. Naomi, I'm going to go with this is about pure enjoyment. That wall isn't so much a wall to put you out. It's that wall where you can sit in and open a book, delve into the voice, the words, the characters, and enjoy what unfolds. It's that note of understanding what somebody puts into a book and their voice so that you can enjoy on a level that gives you a sense of not just escaping, but delving into the story and the characters and living within the scene itself, that imagination, that playfulness sometimes, or the deep thoughts to something macabre or something outlandish. It doesn't matter what the story is. It's that note of enjoyment in understanding what you're getting into, thoroughly breathing in it, and just relaxing, having a bit of you time.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Rex.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Gene. Oh, we're at the back of the back of the rainbow. So
yeah, we're down to 90 seconds. What a great night of poetry and wonderful company. I have 5 carryovers for next week, so I'm going to tell you. Miriam Kilner, Afasiana, Drusa Streshenkov, Frank Laurent Montana, and Rosie. So I apologize. I could not get to those, but we were moving.
That's all right, because Rosie's is actually from my Tuesday show.
There you go. That's awesome. So that's good. Then next week it'll be a repeat on my show, but that's okay. So I want to thank everyone who called in, Zach, Rex, Dex, Naomi. Rex, as always, thank you for co-hosting with me. But what a great night of company. And as I said, poetry in the room. It was nice to see a bunch of folks in the room talking to one another and commenting on the poetry. It always makes me feel good. So
Thanks, everybody. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And I screwed up my beginning tonight because I'm supposed to say, I hope you had a great week and a better weekend to follow. I didn't do this. Now I'm going to say it. I hope you had a great week and an even better weekend to follow. Anyway, y'all take care, and hopefully I'll see y'all again next Friday. It's always fun.
Great time.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night.